I want to invite you to just soak in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's not be in a hurry. If the Lord brought you here, you know, then just hang with us for a little bit. And let's see what the Lord is going to do. Because the Lord, you know, he's got a plan on how he's going to get his people ready. You know, ready. How is he going to get his people ready? Oh, glory to God. You know, this is one of the ways that the Lord's going to get his people ready. So let's go this morning into, or let's come rather, into his presence with anticipation. That's right, anticipation. If we have anticipation in our hearts, oh my goodness, the Lord is going to do something for us this morning. We're going to talk about the role the Holy Spirit plays in our lives. Yes. And, you know, we're going to talk about the flowing of the Holy Spirit and why he may not be flowing as he should. You know, and we're going to be praying to see how the Lord may help us to flow even more with the power and the Spirit of God in the name of Jesus. That's what we're going to be doing here this morning. So, you know, let's get ready. Let's get ready. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The first thing we want to remind everybody about is that the Spirit of God has been freely given to us. You know, and I'm going to, you know, give a little background here on what Jesus said and how, you know, being the, having the Holy Spirit dwelling with us is different from having the Holy Spirit, you know, dwelling in us, you know, and even how when we have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, he still may not be flowing as he should. So we're going to cover all of that this morning, and we're going to pray around that. I'm going to see what the Lord is going to do for us. Glory to God. So, you know, I have some scriptures here I want to share with us as we go through this. You know, here is Jesus introducing, you know, what the Holy Spirit is going to do in the lives of the believer when he comes. You know, so we heard about the Holy Spirit coming, you know, when John the Baptist was baptizing people with water, and he was saying that, well, there's someone coming after me whose shoes I'm not worthy to unlace. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Well, we don't even know quite, nobody knew exactly quite what that meant, except that he said it, you know, but here's Jesus talking about it, you know, in the book of John chapter 14, he says in verse 15, if ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. So that's the first time that we're hearing that when that comforter comes, he will abide with us forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. Listen to this. Ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and he shall be in you. Now, that's Jesus talking, and he's making a distinction here. He's making a difference. Calling out a difference between the Holy Spirit dwelling with and also dwelling in. You know, so we see that at conversion, the Holy Spirit is dwelling with. You know, but at some point later, he will dwell in. And that's what we're going to cover today. And even when he dwells in, why is it that he doesn't flow like he should? So we want to cover that as well. Now, let me say right away, you know, hear that Jesus Christ is the gift of God to the world. But the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of God is, you know, we call him Holy Ghost, we call him the Spirit of God, call him Holy Spirit, you know, call him the Comforter, call him many different names, call him the Counselor. The Holy Spirit is the gift of God to the believers and the church. You know, so I'm drawing a contrast there or a parallel, how that Christ is the gift of God to the world, right? Because the Bible says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son to the world. So Jesus Christ is the gift of God to the world, the whole world, you know. But Jesus Christ, on the other hand, he turns around and gives the Holy Spirit to the church. We find that in some of the things that we are going to consider this morning. You know, here's what it says. We already read it, but I want to read it to you again. And I posted it. I posted something here in the chat that the Holy Spirit will be, Jesus talking to them at that time, say, dwelleth in you, and he will be in you, right? You know, so, but again, Jesus would say that the world cannot receive, you know, the Spirit of God. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. That's John 14 and 17. So the Holy Spirit is not given to the world, but they can't receive the world. For he seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. So the Holy Spirit is not given to the world exactly. Christ is given to the world. Now, but what then the Holy Spirit? Here's another scripture that tells us that the Holy Spirit is given to the believer rather than to the world. Acts chapter 2. We know the story of how the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak in other tongues on the day of Pentecost and so forth. You know, and after Peter preached a marvelous service, you know, a sermon to them, you know, they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said unto them, verse 38 of Acts chapter 2, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost is a gift, you know, but it comes only to people who have repented and are saved. It doesn't come to people who are not believers. You must receive the word of God. You must have that repentance. For the most part, you know, people are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ before they receive the Holy Ghost. But that's not, you know, we've seen situations where people actually receive the Holy Ghost before they were baptized. We saw that in Acts chapter 10 in the house of Cornelius. While Peter was preaching the word, they believed, right? And the Holy Ghost fell upon them. And then afterwards, they were baptized. But repenting, believing, getting the word in the heart is so key to the Holy Spirit. The parallel that I'm drawing here this morning is that the Holy Spirit is given to the church, whereas Jesus Christ was given to the world. You know, in the book of Acts chapter 8. Let's talk about the difference between, you know, conversion, I mean, Holy Spirit at conversion and Holy Spirit indwelling us. You know, in the book of Acts chapter 8, there is a story of Philip going to Samaria to preach. And we pick up the story in verse 14 of Acts chapter 8. And it says that when the apostles which are at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they came down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet, he was falling upon none of them. Only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So you see, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost. So now these were believers. They had already received the word of God. They had received the word of God, but they had not received the Holy Ghost. You know, now we see, but when the apostles came down, they laid their hands on them, they prayed for them, and they received the Holy Ghost. So in this particular case, these people had received the word of God. They had been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, just like Peter said in Acts chapter 2, but they had not yet received the Holy Ghost. You know, so we see that the receiving of the Holy Ghost is a separate and distinct experience, different from receiving the word of God. Also even different from being baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in water. Just like we're baptized in water by immersion, so also are we baptized in the Holy Ghost by immersion. He covers us. He comes inside of us. I mean, it's an experience. You can't be baptized in water and say, well, I don't know if I was baptized. You know, so you can't say, well, I don't know if I've been filled with the Holy Ghost. You will know. You know, so also in Acts chapter 19, there's a story, you know, that you know, Paul was traveling through some places and then he found certain believers. Let's read it. Acts 19. Came to pass while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus and finding certain disciples. Now, these were disciples that he found, you know, and these were not unbelievers. So Paul found certain disciples and he said unto them, have you receive the Holy Ghost since you believed, which means, you know, from the time you believed until now, as he was asking them that question, have you received the Holy Ghost? And they said, we have not even so much as heard about whether there be any Holy Ghost. You know, Paul was surprised. Now, Paul asking, why did Paul have to ask them that question, actually, since they were, you know, already believers? Now, this is after the day of Pentecost. Because some people say today that, oh, well, you know, that was the day of Pentecost. But now, you know, from that time on, when people receive the Lord, they are already baptized with the Holy Ghost at the same time. That's completely contrary to the scriptures. From these experiences that we're reading here, we saw the one in Samaria in Acts chapter 8. They had received the word of God. They were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. But yet they had not received the Holy Spirit. We're seeing here in Acts chapter 19. This is way after the, you know, day of Pentecost, you know, Paul asking these disciples. And why did Paul ask them this? Because he knew that, you know, receiving the Holy Ghost is a separate experience. So he wanted to make sure, you know, they were already disciples, they were already believers, but he asked them, have you received the Holy Ghost since the time you believed? And they said, no, we don't even know what the Holy Ghost means. And they said, well, what were you baptized unto then? And they said, well, unto John's baptism. So John, you know, Paul said to them, look, John verily baptized you with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him that will come after him, which is Christ Jesus. Now, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord. Now, this is the one story where people were actually baptized in water twice. These folks were already baptized with the baptism of John, you know, and then, you know, here, they were baptized again in the name of the Lord Jesus. You know, just like Peter said on the day of Pentecost, repent ye and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And Paul wasn't there on the day of Pentecost, but the Holy Spirit is guiding him to do the same thing here. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came upon them. They spake with tongues and they prophesied. So, a separate, distinct experience of the Holy Spirit coming into the life of the believer. Again, if you're just joining us, here's something I said at the beginning. Jesus Christ is given as a gift to the world That's God's gift to the world. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So Jesus Christ is the gift of God to the world. You know, as a matter of fact, Romans 6:23 says something also similar. Wages of sin, death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So Jesus Christ is the gift of God to the world. However, the Holy Spirit is the gift of God to the church and to the believers, not to unbelievers. You know, so, and that's what Jesus told the disciples in John 14:17, that the Holy Spirit cannot be received by the world. They can't. The world cannot receive the Holy Spirit because it wasn't given to them. But it's given to you, he said. And he made it also a distinction. He's dwelling with you now, but he will be in you later. And the Holy Spirit came upon them on the day of Pentecost. Now, this same people, group of people in Acts chapter 2, that the Holy Ghost came upon them on the day of Pentecost. In Acts chapter 4, after they were threatened and everything, some of them were thrown in jail, and when they further threatened them, and then they let them go, you know. But, you know, they wanted to scare them, you know, and all that, you know. So they threatened them. They did all kinds of things and so forth. So, but when they let them go, they went to their own company. And when they got there, Acts chapter 4 and verse 24, they lifted up their voice with one accord and said, "Thou art God, O Lord, which had made heaven and earth, the sea and all them that is in, who by the mouth of thy servant David said, why did the people rage, the heathen rage, and imagine vain things? Kings of the earth stood up, rulers were gathered against the Lord and his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate and the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and counsel beforehand determined. Now, O Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with boldness they may speak the word, by stretching forth your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done in the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled." Now, these were people that were already filled with the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost, but they were filled again with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. So we see that you people can be filled with the Holy Ghost. You can experience it more than once, especially when you feel that he's not flowing like he should, which is what I'm going to be talking about today. We got to come and experience even some more. And the illustration I always like to give is taking a bucket to the ocean. You know, you can come with your bucket and take from the ocean as many times as you want. There's always more where that came from. The ocean is not going to even have a dent, you know, yet your bucket is full. When your bucket is full, take it away, use it. When it's empty, come back, get another, infilling of the bucket. But the ocean is just still as it was. You won't even see that there was a difference. That's how great the power and the depth of the Holy Spirit can be in our lives. You know, he's like the ocean. And what you have today, or what you've had before, is like your trips to the ocean with a bucket. And if you haven't even had anything, then let's get started. You know, so that's what we're talking about today. Now, what does it mean for the Holy Spirit to be flowing? I'm going to give a story here and an illustration from the scriptures on how the Holy Spirit, how we can have dimensions of the Holy Spirit in our lives. But before I do, you know, I ask that you take a moment and share the room. Share the room on your hallway. Take the link. Put it on your hallway. Let people see that you are in this room. Post something in the chat room as we are going through. Invite your friends, because people need to hear this, you know, and let them come into this room and hear what the Lord wants to give us today. So take a moment and do that. While you're doing that, I'm going to turn to Ezekiel chapter 47. And in this story, we're going to use an illustration from this story of how we can have dimensions of the Holy Spirit. Dimensions of the Holy Spirit. So there was a vision that Ezekiel was participating in here. You know, the angel was actually taking him and showing him things, and he was participating in the thing. You know, and there was this man had a line in his hand, and he was measuring, you know. So, you know, the man, Ezekiel, first of all, he brought me without the other gate by the way that looketh eastward, and behold, the waters ran out on the outright side. I'm reading Ezekiel 47 and verse 2. And the man had a line in his hand, you know, went eastward. He measured 1,000 cubits and brought me through the waters. So first of all, we see that Ezekiel was standing on the banks, you know, of the river. And then when the angel took him in, measured 1,000 cubits, and he went with him through the waters, and they stopped. And the place where they stopped, after going 1,000 cubits into the water was at his ankles. So just take a look and imagine the progression. First, you are on the banks, and then you go 1,000 cubits, and the water is to the ankles. And then he took me another 1,000 cubits and brought me through the waters again. You know, he said, and this time around, the waters were up to the knees. You know, then he measured again and brought me through the waters, and the waters were up to the loins. So like his waist. You see the progression as he goes deeper into the water. And after that, he measured another 1,000 and brought him through the waters, and he was, you know, the thing was way over his head. He couldn't stand or wade through that water anymore. He had to, it's something that could not be passed over. It was something that you'd have to swim. And so the angel said to me, "Son of man, has you seen this?" And he brought me and caused me to return to the brink of the river. So he took him through his experience and brought him right back to the brink of the river where he started from. Now, when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on the one side and on the other side. Now, these trees, they were just standing there. They didn't jump right into the water, you know, like Ezekiel did, but there were a lot of them. And there's a lot of people today that are just on the brink. They are not jumping right in, and they're not having an overflowing experience of the Spirit of God. You know, they're not having anything. Sometimes they go in and they stop at ankle deep. Sometimes they go in and they stop at, you know, waters that come to the knees, knee deep. Again, they might go deeper and stop at, you know, the hips or the loins, you know, but, you know, do we really go all the way, all the way, all the way? Now, but here's something he told Ezekiel about this waters. And I'm going to tell you something that Jesus said himself. Now, he said, you know, these waters issue out toward the east country and go down into the desert and go into the sea. And being brought forth, the waters shall be healed. And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the rivers shall come, shall live. Glory to God. Now, that's what the flowing of the Holy Spirit brings. It brings revival. you know, it causes everywhere it goes things to be energized, revived, empowered, revitalized, rekindled, ignited. That's what the Holy Spirit does. And there shall be a great multitude of fish. That sounds to me like soul winning and people coming into the kingdom. Because Jesus says, I will make you, you know, fishers of men. So when the Holy Spirit is really flowing, people are going to be getting saved. If it's flowing in your life, people are going to be coming to the knowledge of God through you. And everywhere you go, things are going to break forth. Things are going to happen. There's going to be a great multitude of fish because these waters came thither. You know, because the water come there, there's going to be multitude of fish, for they shall be healed. And everything shall live whither the river cometh. Now, there is a river, the streams, whereof makes glad the house of God. Jesus, he said in John chapter 7, verses 37 to 39. This is Jesus announcing for the first time, you know, that the Holy Spirit will come. This was even before the John 14 one that we read. But there was a feast that Jesus was participating in. He chose it because of the significance of it. And he made this announcement. In John chapter 7, verses 37, you know, I said, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. We're talking about the flowing of the Spirit today. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this was a commentary. This he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given at that time, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Glory to God. But so, you know, that's it right there. You know, the Spirit must flow. It's like rivers of living water. But there are some reasons why it may not be flowing like it should. And let's cover those reasons today. And that's what we are going to pray about. Reasons why the Holy Ghost may not be flowing as it should in our lives. What might some of those reasons be? Well, the first thing that we are going to see here, we've already read that scripture in Acts chapter 4. We've seen what the disciples did when they were threatened and they felt that they needed to be energized and recharged, came to the Lord and were filled again. Well, from that lesson, we see that complacency, you know, may be part of the reason why we are not getting another supercharging of the Holy Spirit, because we're not coming back to the Lord to be filled again. And people are just complacent and they think they have arrived. Well, then that's all they got. They got their bucket fill of water, but that's all they got. But, you know, sometimes you've used up the bucket and you didn't really know that you've used it up. But, you know, when you know it, you got to come back for some more. You got to take the bucket back to the ocean and get some more. That's exactly right. You know, so here's what we're talking about today. Complacency is one of the reasons why people, you know, don't have that flowing that we read in Ezekiel 47. People are complacent with where they are. They're satisfied with the status quo. Those who are on the banks of the river, they are satisfied with just staying there. And that's all they got. Some go in 1,000 cubits. The water is up to their ankles, but they're satisfied there. And that's all they got. Others go a little deeper and the waters get up to their knees, but they stop there, they're satisfied, and that's all they got. You know, at every level, they think that that's it, and there's nothing more, like, we got it. You know, even the one that's sitting on the banks of the river, they can just, maybe the water is just touching their feet, you know, and they may think they got it. You know, at different stages like that, they thought they got it. But there is more if you just keep going deeper. So there are measures of this anointing and the, you know, flowing of the Spirit, as we see in that story of Ezekiel. But that's a tremendous thing. If you go all the way, that's a tremendous thing that happens. It shows how that river will flow and bring healing everywhere it goes, everything it touches, multitude of fish, etc., etc., etc. You know, they're just powerful. It causes a great, great revival. Ezekiel 47 and verse 9 will bring a multitude of fish. So that's, you know, if we're complacent, that's one reason why the Holy Spirit may not be flowing. But let me illustrate this flowing before I go any further. All of us, you know, we're used to the concept of, you know, opening the tap in our homes so the water can come out. Inside, I mean, behind that tap, there are pipes, you know, that, you know, channel the water to come out. And then when you open the tap, the water comes out. When you open the faucet, the water comes out. You know, but sometimes those pipes may be clogged up because of calcium deposits or whatever. You know, over the years, the water may not flow as with much, you know, force as it should. You know, and even sometimes you put a little, you know, sometimes they have a little strainer in the, at the mouth of the faucet to catch debris. And if that strainer gets filled up and gets clogged, the water will not flow. But you take that, you know, strainer out, then the next thing, the water gushes out. You clean out the pipe, then the water gushes out. Another illustration is a garden hose, the water hose that we use in the garden. You know, you open the tap, sometimes you see that the water is flowing. And sometimes, you know, remember the hose is connected to the tap. And sometimes you open the water, you open the tap fully, but the water has stopped flowing. What happened? And then you look and you see that there is a kink, one or more kinks in the hose. In fact, just one kink. When the hose is twisted up, the place where it's twisted up, the water can no longer pass through. It's a kink. And you gotta, you know, and even though the water, the tap is, or the faucet is opened to, you know, in full, yet the water is trying to get through, but it cannot, because there is a kink that is blocking that flowing. And some of those kinks, you know, are the things that we want to talk about today. You know, what are those kinks? You know, but when you, you know, unloose that kink, you straighten out the hose, the next thing you know, there's a big rush of the water right out of, even though the nozzle was open the whole time, yet the water wasn't flowing through. As a matter of fact, you can just kink the, even you can kink the hose intentionally and the water will stop flowing. You know, so kinks in the hose will cause the water to stop flowing. Let's talk about some of those kinks. You know, one of them is an unyielded spirit. And we're not yielded. Romans chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2 talks about yielding to the Lord. Unconfessed sin is another one. You know, when we are not yielding. Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2 says, look, the Lord's hand is not shortened. His power is not withdrawn, you know, but our sins have hid, caused God to hide his face from us so that he will not hear. You know, we see that also in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. You know, it talks about, you know, if we have all these wonderful promises, then we need to cleanse ourselves from all impurities of the, you know, all filthiness of the spirit, filthiness of the minds, filthiness of the flesh, to perfect holiness in the sight of the Lord. I'm just, you know, quoting up these verses. I'm not actually reading them verbatim. But if anybody is hearing the scriptures, you can post them for me in the chat room. That would be great. So the unconfessed sin is another reason, another kink, you know, another reason why things may not go. You know, religious tradition. Jesus said in Matthew 23 and verse 13, he said, look, you know, because of your traditions, this one I want to read. Matthew 23, you know, and, you know, verse 13, Jesus began to call them hypocrites. He said, you've shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. You neither go in, nor that you suffer them to go in. You know, some people have been taught in their religious systems that there's no such thing as Holy Ghost anymore today. It's over. You know, so there's spiritual, or I shouldn't say spiritual, their religious leaders are holding them back. They wouldn't go in, and they wouldn't let others go in. And so Jesus rebuked them here. That's another reason why people are not flowing like they should. And some people have wounds, you know, hurt. Yeah, this is a powerful one that I want to deal about today. It's powerful. Unforgiveness. You know, emotional wounds will create a kink. You know, one of the biggest kinks that can happen to that hose, causing that flowing to stop, is emotional wounds, unforgiveness, deep hurt. And many people cannot receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit until they deal with that. You know, you just can't. It's not going to happen. You know, you have this deep-seated hurt, you know, and you need to check yourself. You know, if you say, well, you know, I've been praying for the Holy Ghost and so forth. Well, maybe you have this deep hurt, this unforgiveness in your life. It's not going to work. You got to clear that out of there in order to get the Holy Spirit. Those of you who just joined, we're talking about the Holy Spirit. You know, we were talking about the gift. It's actually called the gift of a Holy Spirit. You know, the gift. So it's a gifting. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. It says, repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. And then ye shall receive the gift of a Holy Spirit. So it is a gift. But I also said at the beginning, for those who may have just recently joined, that God gave Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was God's gift to the world. Because for God so loved the world that he gave his son, Jesus Christ. John 3:16. So Jesus was God's gift to the world. But the Holy Spirit is God's gift to that church and to the believer. You know, Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 17, that the world, I posted this already, the Spirit of God, the world cannot receive the Spirit of God. It's not given to the world, given to the believers. But it's a gift nonetheless, as explained in, or as declared in Acts chapter 2, 38. So right now we're covering the flowing of the Spirit. How Jesus said, like, out of the belly of him that believes in me shall flow rivers of living water. John chapter 7, verses 37 to 39. He was talking about the Holy Ghost, which believers should receive, but they had not yet received at that time. We've already covered instances that show that receiving of the Holy Spirit by a believer is a separate experience from their conversion. We looked at stories in Acts chapter 8 and Acts chapter 19 for that. And now we're talking about reasons why the Holy Spirit may not be flowing. Look at him, consider him as this flowing water that's trying to get through the hose, the guiding hose or the pipes in the house. But there are reasons why those pipes may be clogged up. You know, we're talking about the kinks and the clogging. And the worst one of them is emotional hurt and deep-seated hurt and wounds and unforgiveness. John chapter 11, verse 25 and 26. When you start praying for the Holy Ghost or anything, you better forgive, because if you don't, neither will your Heavenly Father forgive you. You know, so those things can block the flowing of the Spirit. We've talked about complacency, where people have received the Holy Spirit once. They say, well, I was baptized 10 years ago. I speak in tongues. And that's it. That's it. That's all they have. You know, the majority of tongue-speaking Christians today, 98 or more percent, in my own opinion, they don't have the power of God. All they do is just speak in tongues. You know, and sometimes, you know, I question even those speaking in tongues. You know, so it's all speaking in tongues, just speaking. You know, that's all. There's no power. There's no revival. There's no saving of souls. As, you know, we see in Ezekiel chapter 47, verse 9, this flowing, this river that's making glad the streams of God, causing, bringing revival, bringing a multitude of fish, it's not there, but people are speaking in tongues. There is no power, there's no boldness to stand up for God, but people are speaking in tongues. You know, so, you know, that's a problem. That's a complacency part. The fear of the supernatural is another reason why people, you know, they are blocked from receiving the Holy Spirit. You know, some religious systems also make people afraid or shut it down. Second Timothy chapter 1, verses 7, 6 and 7 says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of a sound mind. I wish somebody can help me post these scriptures in the hallway as I'm going through it in the chat room. You know, Luke chapter 11, verse 13 talks about us not being afraid when we ask of the Holy Spirit. When you ask, Jesus said, look, if you ask, those of you who are parents, your child asks you of bread, you're not going to give him a stone. He asks you for egg, you're not going to give him a scorpion. And if he asks you for fish, you're not going to give him a snake or a serpent. But if you then, being evil, Jesus said, know how to give good gifts to your children, Luke 11 and 13, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask him? You know, so let's get the fear out of there that, oh, when I pray, I'm going to get some wrong spirit. No, you know, you're going to get the Holy Ghost and the power of God. Doubting is another reason. You know, when we doubt, you know, James chapter 1, you know, talks about, you know, the things, you know, when we are receiving, trying to receive things from God, you know, we must ask in confidence, nothing doubting, because he that doubts, you know, the scripture says, is like a wave of the sea tossed up and down. James chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. Say, let not that man think shall receive anything of the Lord. It's another reason why people don't receive or the thing is not flowing. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 2. You know, it's yet another reason, you know, why this is not flowing as it should. Because people think, you know, that they already know and they already have. It goes back to the complacency that we talked about at the beginning. If any man think he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. If you think you've got a full bucket, you have nothing yet because the ocean is still there. So that's the difference in what we have now versus what we can get from God. Hallelujah. Now, let him flow. Let the Holy Spirit flow. It's what we're going to be praying this morning. As a rushing of a mighty wind, On the day of Pentecost, the Bible says that at first there was a rushing sound of like a mighty wind. And the heavens split open, the cloven tongues of fire appeared and sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Now that was some experience. That would have been a sight to see. You know. And when things like that happen, it always draws people in. You know, there were Jews that came from everywhere. They gathered there. They were looking at this. These people are drunken. What are they doing? You know, it's only the third hour of the day. You know, it's like 9 a.m. You know, I mean, why? But Peter said, no, we're not drunken as you suppose, seeing that it's only the third hour of the day. That day starts at 6 a.m. You know, but this is what was prophesied by Joel, the prophet, that in the last days, I pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And they say, you're looking right at it. This is that pouring out. Well, if Peter was in the last days, then where are we today? If Peter thought that they were in the last days, and he's quoting the prophecy of Joel, saying that, well, this is what God said for the last days. Now, that was 2,000 years ago. So where are we now if Peter was in the last days? We are absolutely in the last minutes. You know, then this promise is unto you. He said, for this promise is unto you and to your children and, you know, to those that are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. That's right. It's for you. It's for your children, for those that are far off. You know, what you got to do are the things that we're talking about here. Even after you say, I have received the Holy Ghost once before, there may be kinks. Check and see why the Holy Spirit is not flowing freely. You know, why are the multitude of fishes not being drawn into that river that's flowing out of your belly? Well, this message is for me and it's for you as well. We got to check. We got to take stock from time to time and see what the Lord wants to do for us again. So here's where we are today. The Holy Ghost has been freely given. Freely given. You know, but yet we don't see him in action as much as he should. He's not flowing like he should. And even when we have the Holy Spirit, we concentrate only on speaking with tongues. You know, and then, you know, the rest of the power is not there. Whereas Jesus, when he was talking about when the Holy Spirit would come, he said many things. John chapter 16 and verse 13 says, when the Spirit of truth is come, he said, look, he will show you things to come. He said he would testify of me. I mean, tell many things that the Holy Spirit would do. And Luke chapter 24, verse 49, when he was going away, he told the disciples, tarry ye in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high, until you receive the promise of the Father, which you have heard of me. Wow. He told them the same thing in Acts chapter 1. You know, ye shall receive power, verse 8. After that, the Holy Spirit is come upon you. So the things that we should be expecting when we are asking for a resurgence of the Holy Spirit in our lives should be power, boldness, endowment of power, the ability to draw people to Christ. You know, because that's the goal of the Holy Spirit. When he comes, he shall testify of me, make you an effective witness, shall be witnesses unto me. We empower you to do the same. You know, you can't be, you know, filled with the Holy Spirit and be a closet Christian or closet believer. That can't work. You know, let your light so shine. See, nobody can light a candle and put it under, you know, a bushel or, you know, under the seat or somewhere. Or you cover it up with a bucket turned upside down and you lit the candle. So what good is that? You know, when you light a candle, you put it on top of a candlestick so that it'll give light to everyone. You know, and if that light is being put out, which is what we've been covering in these rooms, that fire has been extinguished, or the flame is slowly dying out, then we got to rekindle it by the fire of God. We got to rekindle it. So I'm going to lead a prayer session here today. You might want to go back and listen to this replay, because we covered a lot of the reasons why, you know, people are not flowing. The Holy Spirit is not flowing like it should. And even some people don't receive the Holy Spirit because of various reasons. We've covered that. But Peter stood on the day of Pentecost and said, "This promise is unto you and to your children, as many as the Lord our God shall call." Hallelujah. When the day of Pentecost was come, they were in the upper room with one accord. They gathered together 120 to receive the power that was promised to come. The Holy Ghost fell upon each one as the Spirit gave to each. They spoke with tongues. Jews that came in from everywhere, they couldn't understand what was happening up there. But Peter stood in the midst of the crowd. He lifted up his voice and he said it aloud. He said, "This is that spoken by the prophet Joel, that in the last days my Spirit I pour, not only to me, but also to you." Every child of God, the ones can get it too. It's not only for me. It's for you. It's for your children. But, you know, why then do we have it? Why then is it not flowing as it should? You know, some of the biggest reasons I've already covered here this morning. Complacency is number one. Standing at the brink of the river and not going deeper. We covered that in Ezekiel 47. You know, deep-seated hurt, emotional wounds. Unforgiveness will block that flowing of that spirit like nothing else. We'll put a kink in the hose and the water will not flow through. It'll put calcium deposits in the pipe and the water will not flow. You can open it all you want, but, you know, and it's clogged up or it's kinked up. Even though the tap, the faucet is open, the nozzle is fully, you know, engaged, still the water will not come out because there's kinks in the hose. Gotta straighten out the hose and let the power go fully. But what do we expect when we are looking to God for the Holy Spirit? And the Holy Spirit is not a one-time experience, folks. You know, a lot of people in this room have received the Holy Ghost on a one-time experience. Most believers, many, I shouldn't say most, may have received the, you know, experience of the Holy Spirit one time in their lives. But we are complacent and we remain in the status quo. We are either on the banks of the river and don't go deep in, or we go only 1,000 cubits and the river is up to the ankles and we stop. You know, yet others may go deeper, comes to the knees, and they too may stop. They may be afraid that, well, I can't swim. You know, so, and then, you know, so another one may go deeper and comes to their loins and the hips. But you keep going enough, it'll be a river that cannot be passed over. It's overwhelming now. Holy Spirit completely immersed. You got to swim. Hallelujah. The effect of it, though, is there will be a multitude of fish. Ezekiel 47 and verse 9. He said, everywhere that this water reaches, they will be healed. Everywhere that this water reaches, it's like a river that's flowing through the house of God. The streams whereof shall make glad the house of God. Everywhere this water reaches, it'll be healed. You know, the dead things will come back to life when this Holy Ghost is flowing. I mean, when the Holy Ghost is really flowing in our lives, you know, you can't shut up. In fact, people will be drawn. It's like multitude of fishes will be drawn to it. There will be revival everywhere. People will cry out. And they got to be saved. They say, look, I need help. They're going to cry out. You know, Jesus called it rivers of living water issuing out from our bellies. That's our prayer today. So we're going to begin to pray. I'm going to ask that every one of us begin to pray and say, Lord, oh Lord, I need the power. I need the flowing of the Spirit like a rushing mighty wind again. Let it hit me like a blaster, you know. I mean, you've seen, hopefully nobody here has experienced any of those, tsunamis or whatever and so on. That thing can be devastating, you know, but, you know, when that deluge of the Spirit comes and hits us like a blast, carries everything in its path, you know, the readiness for the coming of the Lord is going to be like that again. It's called the dynamic haze of power. There'll be a sweeping. It's going to sweep the elect of God right into heaven. But in the path of it, as it's going through, they're bringing a multitude of fish. It's healing everything along the way. It's bringing joy, it's restoration, and things like that are happening. But it's not happening now because the Bible says, look, well, you know, there's no revival because joy is withered from the sons of men. But this river that makes glad the house of God, when this river comes alive again, well, it's there the whole time, but we got to jump right in. You know, we got to jump. We can't stay at the banks of the river. And as a matter of fact, after Ezekiel experienced that and the angel returned him to the banks, he looked around. There was a lot of trees everywhere on the banks, but they didn't jump right in. You know, so we got to jump right in. And we need to let the Holy Spirit have his way. Glory to God. In a subsequent room, to today, I don't know whether it will be, whether tomorrow or some other day. I'm not talking about the Holy Ghost invading our lives. Holy Ghost invasion, something like that. You know, but today, what is the reason why he's not freely flowing? Consider all these things that we've talked about. And let's pray against it in our lives. If there is a deep-seated wound and hurt, emotional hurt, Holy Spirit cannot flow. You know, so examine yourself and forgive truly. You know, you must forgive. You got to release those hurts. You know, you got to untie the kinks in the hose in order for the water to flow through freely. The nozzle is fully engaged. The tap on the faucet is fully open. The water started to flow, but it stopped at the kinks. It's not going to go through that. It can't go through that kink. It's kinked up. The kinks must be straightened out and allow that water to flow through. It's called the flowing of the Spirit. Imagine what will happen if the Spirit is truly flowing in every believer's hearts and lives, and we get together in a local service, for instance, my goodness, it will be explosive. But whether you are, you know, in a congregation or not, as an individual, you can have this power flowing through you. But an individual cannot do it alone. Now, this is the thing too. Don't be a maverick. That's not going to be, you want to go solo. That's not going to work. You know, there was a reason why the Lord brought the disciples together. There was a reason why, he taught them for many years. He even sent them out two by two. And there was a reason why he continued to build them up. And on the day of Pentecost, there was a reason why there was 120 of them. It wasn't one person. Yes, the individual, but together. See? And why is the togetherness important? Some people are so hurt today. They won't even go to church. You know, when I first came on this app about 2 years ago, or a little under, everywhere I went, people are talking about how they've been hurt. They're not going to, can't go to church and all of these things. Well, that's another reason why Holy Ghost is not flowing like it should be. Too much hurt, and people are not releasing, the unforgiveness and the bitterness. The Bible says the root of bitterness springing up will trouble you. A root of bitterness so deep seated. But I tell you what, God has this thing. It's like a giant jigsaw puzzle. I mean, just think of it. You know, I loved these things when I was a kid. When my kids were growing up, I made them do it through too. We get this big giant jigsaw puzzle. Some of them are 500 pieces. Some of them are 1,000 pieces. The more pieces you have, the smaller the pieces. But you got to put it all together. But you got to work as a team. The Lord has this picture, but nobody has it. He only has it. And he has dished out some pieces to each of you and each of us. That's why the Bible says to measure of faith dished out to each of us. But you must bring your pieces and put them all together. If you hold on to your own pieces that he has dished out to you, that picture will never be complete. You got to bring the pieces. You got to put them together. And the Lord is so good like that, that he made sure nobody has all the pieces. That's why, if anybody tells you that they have all the gifts of the Spirit, that they have all the ministerial gifts as well, they operate as an apostle, prophet, teacher, pastor, evangelist, they have all the 9 gifts. They have all the gifts of God. Well, you get away from there, because that's not how God works. Because if the body were one member, that's what the scripture says, then where were the body? So those kinds of claims are false. It cannot be true. God puts a little here and a little there. Here a little, there a little. Line upon line. Preset upon preset. And we got to bring it all together. And the last demonstration and move of the Holy Spirit for this world is going to come by the pieces coming together. Otherwise, all you're going to have is you're going to have a little trickling, some trickles over here, some trickles over here, some trickles over here. But the force of it, the magnitude of the force of it will not come until people, believers that are truly filled with the Holy Spirit in their cities come with the power of God. In the early church, the gospel was preached to whole cities at once. Not just little congregations over here. A whole city at once. Paul used to say, well, let's go back. He would tell Barnabas, he would tell Silas, all of them, let's go back and visit those cities where we have preached the gospel. Philip went to Samaria, a whole city. This is how they preached the gospel in those days. A whole city, a whole city. And then when a city gets together and it's powerful. Now they may have little assemblies here and there because they went from house to house, but their focus was to take that city, the whole city. My goodness. Well, I know these cities are much bigger now. But then also we have many more believers now than they did in those days. They started out with just a few, even after the day of Pentecost, there was only 120 of them, just imagine what we have, on your street alone, where you go to church, in our local fellowship here where we go to church, there are maybe five or six buildings there that says church on it. And imagine, you know, there's more than 120 people on that street, you know, that claim to be church folks, have the Holy Ghost. Just imagine the power of God. And even inside one congregation, if there are too many splinterings, you know, everything's splintered here and there, it's not going to work. You know, disunity is another kink. You know, there's a bigger pipe. There's individual pipes, and there's a bigger corporate pipe. We covered the individual pipes. Now I'm speaking to the corporate pipe. The corporate pipe, you know, when there is schisms and all kinds of things inside the body, it's not going to work either. So we got to get rid of these schisms. You get rid of all these kinks and let the power of God flow. And it's not about the individual. It's about the Holy Spirit, what he wants to do. And as he moves through in the landslide, who he's going to carry along. It's not about me. I just got to make myself a conduit and let the rivers flow out of my belly. Hallelujah. You know, so it's not about me. Here's another fault that when people are, you know, and this fault is among preachers. You know, those that preach, you know, when people are thinking of revival and they're talking about revival, they are thinking that revival is only going to come when they are the ones preaching. So, and that's another reason why the Holy Ghost will not move like it should. It's not about anybody, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. Might be an instrument. God might give you a message that can stir people up. But then you got to step out of the way and let the Holy Ghost do his thing. You know, as long as we keep thinking that, yeah, unless we're the one doing it, it's not going to happen. Then it's not going to happen, you know, because there's schisms there. You know, so we got to let all that stuff out. And let the Holy Ghost have a pure platform to work. Starting with the individual. Let's get those kinks out today. What are the kinks that you may have? You know, what are the things that may be preventing the flowing of the Spirit? You know, hallelujah. Glory to God. I want you to post something in the chat room if you're getting any of this. You know, and then let's pray together. Feel free to come to the stage and let's pray together. You know, and I am going to, you know, invite all of you who are there to come to the stage if you want to do that and let's pray together. I'm sending invites to everybody. You know, come to the stage if you can, you know, and let's pray together. And here's what we're going to do. The things that I've talked about this morning, you know, how to get the Holy Ghost flowing, you know, I'm going to just give a quick summary. We've talked about the difference between the Holy Spirit at conversion versus these infilling and flowing of the Holy Spirit we're talking about. Jesus said it himself, John 14 and 17. The Holy Spirit dwelleth with you and shall be in you. So we covered that. We gave examples in, you know, Acts chapter 8. We gave examples in Acts chapter 19. Cover that. But I also mentioned that the Jesus Christ is the gift of God to the world. That's right. God so loved the world that he gave his son. And Jesus Christ is the gift of God to the world. But the Holy Ghost is a gift of God to the church, to the believers. For Jesus said, Holy Ghost, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Holy Ghost is not given to the world. It's given to believers. Repent and be baptized, every one of you. And after you are saved, and you know, like that, then you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's a gift too, Acts 2 and 38. So we covered all of that. We covered the reasons why it's not flowing. So now it's time for us to pray and ask the Holy Ghost. You know, and I was praying about this room last night. And I'm like, well, you know, there is another block, you know, that will make people not experience what God wants to dish out today. You know, there will be another block. And that will be, you know, despising the day of small things. You know, you just despise a room such as this. Well, you know, it's early in the morning or whatever, you know, or, you know, I've heard that before or whatever, you know, all those things, you know, so, you know, but when you loosen up, let the Holy Spirit go. If we can just get this Holy Ghost flowing in our lives like it should, I mean, I wouldn't even be here teaching this message this morning. You know, there will be that power. We'll come into a room like this, the Holy Ghost power already. People will be drawn in. You go into your local store, people are drawn in everywhere, you know, in your, even on your job. You know, people will be drawn to you, just drawn to you, just drawn to you. You know, multitude of fish everywhere, you know, stand up and preach, you know, Peter did 3,000 souls. So somebody that could not even witness to a maid, denied Christ before a maid. You know, Holy Ghost comes, 3,000 souls in one day. My goodness. You know, this is the thing. This is how we know that the Holy Spirit is working. This is how we know that our lives, you know, have become a channel. You know, as a song that we say, that say, make me a channel of blessing today. Make me a channel of blessing, I pray. You know, a channel. We've become a channel. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, we're going to pray. Those of you that are on stage, I want you to lose your mic and begin to pray if you can. You know, let's begin to pray. You know, pray for yourself. Pray for your children. Pray for the body of Christ. Pray for those who are in this room. Pray for those that will listen to the replay later on. For this promise is unto you. Pray for me, because I need, I may have some kinks. I got to get those kinks out of there, because I believe that I can influence more people for Christ if there are no kinks, you know, because I have opportunity. You know, I'm a preacher, I'm a speaker, I have opportunity, you know, so those of us that have opportunity, we have the privilege, you know, to influence more people for Christ. But we got to get those kinks out of there, you know, and let this power really gush out. You know, so maybe the water is just seeping through, you know, because too many clogs and too many kinks. So we need prayer to unkink everything, unclog all the wheels and unclog all the pipes and let things really move. That's our prayer this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for myself. Lord, let him flow through me, Lord. Let him overflow me. You know, let me go deeper into that river. I don't want to stand at the brinks. I don't want to stand in ankle deep water. I don't want to even stop when it's up to my knees. I don't want to even stop when it's up to my hips. I want to keep going until it's a river that cannot be passed over. I want to experience that flowing. He said, wherever this river flows, he said, they shall be healed. All the trees that he would touch, Ezekiel 47 and 9, shall be healed. And there will be a multitude of fish. This is what we are looking for, Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus, come in thy power. The power that you have promised, Lord, come, let us experience. Oh, let us experience. Oh, help me to experience, Lord, the best of heaven. It's a song that says, let us experience the glory of thy presence, your presence, Lord. Your presence is like heaven to me. Oh, let me experience that flowing, that blast of the Holy Spirit. I don't want just a drop, Lord. I want a tsunami. Oh, glory to God. But God said, you got to pay the price. That's right. As I said it right now, Holy Spirit said, well, are you ready to pay the price? Are you ready? Well, all I can say, Lord, is, you know, as the scripture says in Psalm 110, verse 3, that it says, look, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. So all I can say, Lord, is I am willing. Make me willing, Lord. Remember the prayer. You say, you know, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. In the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning, such as this. Oh, God is going to command a renewing of the youth, a renewing of his power. Lord, I am willing. Make me willing in the name of Jesus. But be careful what you pray for now. Lord, I am willing. We got to turn it loose. Let the Holy Ghost interrupt our day. Let him interrupt your life. You know, sometimes we, you know, that's another kink. We have too much regimented things in our lives. You know, it got to be like this, got to be like that. We got everything planned out. You know, and that's good. It's good to plan, you know, but sometimes the Holy Ghost, he needs to interrupt those plans and we got to let him. Hallelujah. Same thing when we, in our services, when we come together in a local assembly to fellowship, we got everything all planned out how it must be. Well, you know, there's only so much that Holy Spirit can do when we got everything all planned out, you know. But when we turn loose, glory to God, and let the Holy Ghost have his way, oh my goodness, you know, people will not be able to wait to get to the next service. You know, we need to experience that. You know, when the Bible says that I was glad, the psalmist said, when it was hard to get time to go to the house of the Lord, if the church doors will open by 9 o'clock, people will be there by 8. We need to experience that. Not when the church opens at 9, people come at 10:30. No. When it's opening by 9, people will be there by 8 because of what they experienced last service. They can't wait to come back. We need that in our lives. We need this flowing of the Holy Spirit. We need this power. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus.